my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves, not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts, so if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 325 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. This is Kevin Huntsberger, and it is another Confessions of an Indie Ring Announcer. And I've decided to make this a monthly section or segment, if you will, of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. So I'll get more into the discussion on that in just a little bit, but first some housekeeping to take care of, and that is to remind everybody, if you haven't already, follow, like, subscribe to the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, to the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast, to Nerds United. Leave a review. Let us know what you think of the shows that are here, and follow along on other social media platforms, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. Subscribe to the My 1-2-3 Cents YouTube channel and check out Wrestling Under the Influence. Each week, I pair a beer with a wrestler or something involved in the world of professional wrestling and kind of make a correlation there. So I'm having a lot of fun doing it. And it was something I did here on the podcast, but decided to take it to video form and do it that way instead. There are other many great podcasts out there that I encourage you to check out and listen to. Chad Smart, of course, with the Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network. He's actually going to be joining me next week for Movie Mania. We're going to review the film Fighting With My Family, which, of course, is Paige's story of getting involved in the world of wrestling and WWE specifically. So I actually watched it for the very first time last night as I record this. So we'll talk more in depth about that particular movie next week right here on the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. Chad also does a podcast with his buddy Mike DeKalb called Out of Touchstone, which is actually kind of the inspiration for doing Movie Mania. So be sure to check that podcast out as well. Another movie-related podcast, a couple of them to tell you about. Friends of mine, Travis Yates, hosts the Still Up All Night podcast, where they look back on films that aired on USA's Up All Night back in the 80s and early 90s, I believe. So be sure to give them a shout out. Check that out. And then our old friend Tom Skull, he and his son Fletcher have a new podcast. It's Tom and Jim Presents Lights, Camera, Fletch. And it's a great family-friendly movie review system where Tom's young son Fletcher kind of gives his perspective and viewpoints on certain films. The one that most recently dropped on Soul was really good, and a good film as well. So be sure to check them out. My friends over in Cape Girardeau, Pro Wrestling Unscripted, they are back with shows. Check them out as well. And the OVP podcast, the Our Vantage Point, I enjoy listening to that too. All independent podcasters, fun shows to check out and listen to. And of course, there are the big guys out there. But give your small indie podcasters, I call them indie podcasters, a listen as well and support them. And because a lot of us are doing this as a hobby, but you know what? It would be great one day if it were more than that. I always dreamed of Jittery Monkey becoming a big a big podcasting network. So be sure to follow along, like I said, on social media. Let us know what we're doing right, what we're you'd like to hear or see different going on here with Jittery Monkey. And speaking of indies, of course, I've got to mention Stride Pro Wrestling. They have a show coming up this Saturday night. If you are listening this week, it is on February 13th at the building in Carterville. Now, seating is limited, so be sure to message the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page. You can just go to strideprowrestling.com, and that will automatically direct you to their Facebook page. And you can send a message and let them know that you are interested in coming and see if tickets are still available. But again, Stride Pro Wrestling on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube as well. So check it out. Again, strideprowrestling.com will link you right up to their Facebook page. So check out all that fun action. Of course, Anna Fight Underground in Southern Illinois is active. IWA Productions also active, as well as Cape Championship Wrestling. They all have shows coming up, so just find them on social media and stay in tune with the local independent wrestling scene. If you are in Southern Illinois, Southeast Missouri, Western Kentucky, like in that area of our world, and if you're not, check them out on their social media and show them some support that way. Subscribe to their YouTube channels and give them some love as well. So today for Confessions of an Indie Ring Announcer, I had done some ring announcing when this story happens. These are going to be kind of like story times as well, but I like Confessions of an Indie Ring Announcer better. It sounds more, fun or more salacious than it really is actually going to end up being, especially this episode. I'm going to keep it pretty low key for sure. But, you know, I've mentioned before, you know, I spent 22 years in the world of TV news. And in that time, I have met a lot of wrestlers. And I will probably share more of those stories and some of those interviews, which I am actually doing today as well. At the end of this little setup, I'll play the interview. It's not very long, but be sure to stick around for that as well. But in 2010, January of 2010, so 11 years ago, as of this recording, because as Chad Smart says, time is irrelevant in the world of podcasting, but I want to give you some context of what is going to be happening with this particular interview, because I went back and listened to it, and some of the references that are made are still relevant today, but also some may need a little explaining, a little context added to it if you weren't watching WWE back in 2010. So the interview is with The Miz, and this all came about because WWE was doing a show in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is about an hour away from where I live in Southern Illinois. And I had always wanted to do interviews for these wrestling events and talk to the wrestlers. And this was actually before My 1-2-3 Cents was even a thing. So I wasn't even doing the blog at this point. I didn't have the podcast, obviously. I had no intentions of doing anything with this interview other than doing it for the news. And so I had talked to the folks over at the Show Me Center, which is on the SEMO campus, the Southeast Missouri State University campus, where I am an alum. And I had talked to their marketing people and had made a pitch and said, you know, would it be possible to come over with the TV camera and interview The Miz? The show was happening on a Friday night. And because I know they prohibit, you know, you from being in the arena and getting video during the actual show. But they agreed, and it was a Friday afternoon, and they said, come on over. So I had anchored the morning show, grabbed a camera, and headed over to Cape. And the objective was, because obviously he wasn't going to be promoting that particular show, because by the time people would see it on the morning show, it would be over. But I did get a soundbite with him, and you'll hear that at the beginning. And I believe they probably played that in our like 5 o'clock newscast. So if people still wanted to make the trip over to Cape, they would still have time to do that. But I ended up saving that entire interview because, you know, I don't know what gave me the foresight to save it, but I saved it, and I'm glad I did, because then I ended up using it on the YouTube channel, and now I'm going to use it here in the course of this podcast as well. But going over, I wasn't sure what to expect, because The Miz's character, back even in those early days, he was kind of a cocky, arrogant jerk, quite frankly. And I wasn't sure how much of that was going to play out with the interview that we're going to do. I've done interviews with wrestlers before where they have stayed in character, and I had done interviews with wrestlers where it was an actual interview. Now, had I known that My 1-2-3 Cents was going to be a thing, I may have tried to, because they do limit your time when you do these interviews. And with WWE, I don't remember anyone else being in the room with us, but I could be wrong about that. But I do know, like, in more recent years when I've done interviews on the phone with superstars, there is someone else on the line, and they don't really let you go down any kind of rabbit hole. And with The Miz, I felt like I got to ask him some things that I probably wouldn't have been able to ask if there were other people with WWE around. And not that there was anything controversial by any means, but we do talk about the outsider aspect of his debut and when he came in and how he felt kind of ostracized. And at that time, 11 years ago, he said he felt like he was always going to be an outsider. I'd be curious to talk to him today and see where he feels like he fits in, because this was, for context, again, he had just won the United States Championship from Kofi Kingston. So he was defending the belt that night in a fatal four-way with Jack Swagger, Carlito, and MVP. And he actually won that matchup. But this was before he won Money in the Bank, and then, of course, went in and cashed in and won the WWE Championship. So I would obviously love to do a follow-up. I know that is not likely to happen anytime soon, but he was very open and very honest and very cool. I could not get over how, pardon the pun, how awesome he was. But he really was a legitimate, nice guy. We chatted before the interview. Of course, we do the interview, and then we talked for a bit afterward. And I'm always kind of, I feel awkward asking for a photo, but I did ask for a photo and he took it. And it was actually The Miz who, I'm pushing 50 and I still, 11 years later, still have the faux hawk, and people make fun of me for it. But I like the way it looks on me. I don't know. It makes me feel a little younger, I guess. And some people say I look douchey, whatever. But it was actually that interview with The Miz that I got the inspiration to get the faux hawk. So I always kind of circle back to his look from 11 years ago now. But I really am grateful to have had that opportunity to talk to The Miz, because, like I said, he was open. He was honest. I felt like he was being very genuine during the interview. He was not playing the role of The Miz. We talked briefly about The Real World, and I was an avid fan of The Real World back in the 90s. Watched every season. I had Real World book that kind of chronicled the first five or six seasons of the show. However, I really had kind of stopped watching. I believe The Miz was either in the year 2000 or 2001 is when The Miz was on The Real World, and I had stopped watching by then. My family was growing, and the time to sit and, my wife and I would binge watch MTV Real World back in the day when they would have like weekends where they would just show back-to-back-to-back episodes. This was long before Netflix or anything like that in terms of binge watching, but that's how we binge watched back in the 90s. But I knew he was on the show, but I didn't know enough about the show to go deep into the weeds with him. But again, a great guy, a great interview. This was before Maurice. This was before Miz and Mister, or Mister and Miz, or Miss, however you say the damn name of his show. I'm screwing that up too. But again, one of those guys that, because of that interview, it changed my perspective of him, and actually made me a bigger fan of The Miz. And I think that his success throughout the years has been deserved. He really did come in and fought his way to the top. And I appreciate and respect everything that he has done. And I will always look back on The Miz as one of the all-time greats, because I do think he's earned his stripes and has deservedly so put himself in that position. So whatever happens with him down the road here, he does have the Money in the Bank briefcase. Whether or not he cashes in, wins another championship, I love the work that he's doing with John Morrison. I thought that those two were a very, very underrated tag team. And I think in 2020 and 2021, they really have shown me a lot. You know, I like both of these guys, and I like them both as singles, but I like them as a tag team as well. And I think that they work well. You know, they can throw them together for tag matches, and they can keep them separate, and they're two legitimate single stars as well. So I don't know what's going to happen. The rumors of a tag team match with Bad Bunny and someone else at WrestleMania, you know, it is what it is. Wrestling, or WWE specifically, is entertainment, but we're seeing entertainers get involved in all aspects of wrestling. So don't be overly critical of it. You know, just enjoy the ride and watch it and have fun. That's what wrestling is about. It's about enjoying the ride and having fun and seeing these larger-than-life personalities kind of come out and shine. So without any further ado, let's get to the interview portion with The Miz. Again, keep in context, this is 2010, United States champion, long before, not that long before, later this year, he wins Money in the Bank and, of course, the WWE Championship, and goes on the next year to main event WrestleMania against John Cena.
People always ask, what can you expect? Expect the unexpected. And it's going to be a live wrestling show, but also there's going to be comedy acts. I mean, not comedy acts, but like, you know, people, there's going to be some fun. You know, we always tell the crowd, you can always interact. Boo who you hate, cheer who you want, you know, have fun with it. You know, it's a fun, family-filled adventure.
And you say boo who you hate, and you're kind of one of those guys now that people love to hate.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that people love to hate. And the thing is, when I come out, I don't mind if you boo me. It's okay. You know, it's fine. I just use that as something to ignite my fire, to beat up the guy that you are cheering.
And who are you facing tonight?
Tonight, actually, I don't know who I'm facing, but it's some unlucky soul, and it'll probably be for the United States Championship, and they will probably lose. So, there you go.
And now tell me about, because a lot of folks know you, I've mentioned that I'm going to be talking to The Miz today, and they remember you from the real world. How did that transition go for you, going from one show to this, and, you know, your role on Tough Enough, and kind of being the success story of that whole program, because you're kind of the last man standing with that. Talk a little bit about that, and was there any pressure involved with that?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? It's funny. Even to this day, I haven't been on a reality show in 5 years, and people still remember me from The Real World, The Real World was Challenges, and to do that transition, to go from a reality show to the WWE, I was an outsider. And let me tell you something, nobody liked me. And it wasn't just out there in the audience, it was in the locker room as well. So to make that transition was just brutal. It was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And the pressure is still on. Each and every day that I am in the WWE, I have to work really hard to basically prove to the fans, prove to the locker room that I am here to stay, I'm a person to be reckoned with, and I demand respect. And the thing is, sometimes people don't respect me. But it's fine, because I'm the United States Championship, and I proved to everyone that I deserved it when I beat Kofi Kingston for it. So it's been a long, long journey, and to go from reality to the WWE has been one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life.
That promo you cut the other night on Raw seemed to be coming from the heart. I'm guessing it was.
Yeah. After hearing this. It's funny. Everyone has talked to me about that promo I did two Monday nights ago. And it was a true story. I mean, I really did. People were really out to get me, to make me quit, to try to get me fired. People would do whatever they possibly could. I mean, they kicked me out of the locker room. They made my life just terrible. And it was like I would get up every morning and think, man, I have to keep doing this. This is what I want. This is my dream. But people would always shut you down, and everyone would always tell you, you're not good enough, you're not going to do anything, you suck, you're terrible. And it wasn't just out there in the audience, it was out in here in the locker room. And it's, imagine, you know, everyone telling you, you're not good enough, you suck, you're terrible, we hate you, we don't want you here, you're an outsider, you're a reality star, go back to those reality shows. And having people tell you that, it was just every day, you know, you start almost believing it, until one day, you know, you just said, stop, enough. you know, you are good enough. You're better than everything. Everyone tells you you are. So I just kind of used my motivation, my confidence. My friends really helped me out through it, too, that weren't in the business. You know, they were like, dude, you're doing what you always dreamed of doing. This is your dream. No one ever said it was going to be easy to get the dream that you wanted to get. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it stood off. I mean, that was a real life promo that I kind of like, that I wanted to really say. And they were like, you want to say that? I was like, yes. They're like, okay.
Teaming with Morrison and winning the tag team titles, now being the U.S. champion, do you feel some validation now? That do they still view you as an outsider, do you think?
I think I'll always be viewed as an outsider. And now I've kind of come to terms with that and kind of embraced it and said, you know what? I want to be an outsider. I don't want to be one of those guys that are a professional wrestler. You know, I didn't want to be one of those guys wearing Zumba pants and a wife beater shirt with a fanny pack on. I wanted to be a new type of style of wrestling. I wanted to be a person that people can look up to and be like, you know what? That guy's a star. You know, he isn't one of those guys because he's the star out of everybody. And so being the outcast in WWE, I embrace it now.
I would imagine, too, life on the road never gets easier in a different city almost every day. Talk a little bit about the grind of being on the road.
I mean, just talk about today. This last night, or this morning at 1 a.m., I flew from L.A. to St. Louis, got here with no sleep, drove to Cape, and now I'm here doing interviews all day until the show starts. So basically, I'm going off with no sleep. Then tonight we drive to another city that I don't even know what city I'm going to tomorrow. I really don't. I'll find out by somebody, you know, oh, we're going here. Oh, okay. And then I know we go to Champaign, Illinois on Sunday, and then Monday we're in Columbus, Ohio. Then I'm back in L.A. And, yeah, it's an ongoing just traveling. I don't know where I'm going to be the next week. I don't know where I'm going to be next week. You know, I just keep on going. I know Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday I'm going to be home. Really happy about sleeping in my bed, you know? I only get 3 days a week. Sometimes not even that. Sometimes I'm not even home at all. But it's fun, you know? It's not every day you get to perform in front of thousands of people and have them either booing you or cheering you. But the fact is, they're there to see you. So we're there to put on a show.
What's been the highlight so far for you as a WWE superstar?
I have tons of highlights. I'm the Miz. But if I had to choose one, it would definitely be winning the United States Championship because it's a singles title. People always say, you know, Miz and Morrison, Morrison was the talent. I'd always hear that. And so winning my first singles title and showing people that, hey, I was the talent of that tag team. I was the reason we did so well. It's nice. It's validating.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
Just for the people in Cape. Just always remember this. I'm the Miz, and I'm awesome.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in to the My 123 Cents podcast. Again, I remind you to subscribe, leave a review, screenshot it, send it to me, and also check out the My 123 Cents Facebook group. We're trying to build a community there where we can chat and talk and have fun. So if you are already a part of that group, go ahead and make some posts. You know, right now I've been doing a lot of the posting and everybody's been very active in responding to it, but I want folks to get in there and make posts and to start discussions and conversations as well. Let's be nice and civil about it, but I think that is entirely possible as well. I want to say again, I appreciate everybody listening, checking out this week's episode, and tune in next week for Movie Mania as we take a closer look at the film Fighting With My Family. Friends, thank you so much and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.